with them. We'll start off here with Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And what I'm going to do, I've got a lot of verses again this Sunday, so I'm going to read just a few verses and then pray and ask God to help us. But if y'all will, I'm going to start off with Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and I'm going to read just four verses here, and then we'll pray. The Bible says in verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Let's pray. Dad, if you would pray for us.
Heavenly Father God, we thank you for being in your house today, Lord, to learn another portion of your word. Lord, just thank you for Chase studying this word and bringing it to us. Lord, just let us apply it to our hearts and our minds, Lord, in the days ahead. Lord, just be with everybody that's here, Lord, everybody's on prayer list, Lord. I just lift them up to you, Lord. The ones that lost loved ones, Lord, just be with them in their hearts and their minds, Lord. Forgive us
when
we fail
there,
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to jump down to verse number 29, the end. I'll come back to that verse, Lord willing, at the end of this message. But he concludes this chapter with verse 29. He says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Now, in reference to our study, we've been doing some studies on science and philosophy, and I've been studying inventions and a lot of science in the Bible and stuff, a lot of interesting things. But then I got to looking at inventions and a lot of these modern inventions and stuff like that, and I thought, well, let me see what the Bible says about inventions. And of course, the Bible always, you're surprised by what the Bible has to say. And when I read this verse right here and then read the context of what this verse is mentioning, I said, that's what the Lord, for some reason, that's what the Lord wants us to look at. I want to talk to you a little bit today about the worst inventions, the very worst inventions. And as always, it's always something you'd never thought what it is. So I was looking at some inventions and I thought about what's the worst inventions a man has come up with. And man, I looked at some of the craziest things you've ever seen. Do y'all remember that spray that you could spray on? It was like spray on hair. Y'all remember those commercials? And it would have this guy, you know, and he would lean down. I know you've seen it. He'd lean down and man, they'd spray that hair, and it looked like, from a distance, it looked like hair, you know. I thought to myself, man, that's some crazy inventions. But those are basically harmless inventions. But I'm going to tell you this right here, when you get to looking at the Bible, when you look at verse 29, God is giving you a context here to warn you from the worst inventions, which are man-made inventions in here.
That's right, buddy.
You look at this right here, and he's warning you about some things. You know, some things I think we need to do is be warned about some of the worst inventions there are, and that's things we conjure up in our own mind. And just for sake of brevity, I'm going to start with a paragraph mark of verse 11. And first thing I want you to be mindful about is wisdom. In verses 11 through 14, we've got to be mindful about wisdom. And verses 11 and 12, first thing is proper use of what is given. He says in verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance. You get an inheritance. Do you know whenever you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? The Bible says in Him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You've got an inheritance in that you're able to go grasp all the wisdom you need from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He gives it to you.
That's
Amen.
You've got it in your lap, and you've got a guide right here on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but He'll put you in contact with other people like He did that Ethiopian eunuch. And He said, how can I understand except some man guide me? He can put you in contact with people who's filled with the Holy Spirit just like you and guide you in the things you need. That's things about proper use, about what's given. And not only that, but you got wisdom, but you got wealth. He says in verse 12, money for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Well, you better believe wisdom needs to be applied to any wealth given. There's no sin with having money. That's the trouble with this world today. Poor people won't be rich, and rich people will envy the poor in a lot of ways because they don't have as many worries as they are. You just let God, when He gives you something, let Him guide you in what He's given you. Because it says money is a defense. What's one thing it does? You know one reason why we're working? We're working so we can serve. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more. So what's he going to do? He's going to replace it with something. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It's a blessing to be able to give to people. I'm going to tell you something, man. It's something about when you get older. I don't know what it is, but giving to people, it's way more of a blessing to give than it is to receive. You just get to where... And it's a strange thing. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. But if you have a proper use of what's given, God will give you the wisdom. Wisdom is a defense. It'll defend you to keep you out of situations where you have to use it. That's one of my favorite sayings on wisdom. Wisdom is being able to keep yourself from situations where you have to use it.
Amen.
And wisdom says, that's a bad situation. I better just stay away from it. And you know what? Guess what? The Bible says proper use of money is a defense. It's a defense for you not to get out here and run up your credit card so high you can't pay the debt.
Right.
It's a defense for you not to get out here and buy a whole bunch of things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't even care about.
Right.
You get out here and why? It's a defense if you properly use what God has given you. That's something there. Why? It keeps you from inventing things in your mind that you shouldn't invent. He's trying to show you how to keep yourself from bad inventions.
Amen.
You take over there, and if you don't labor, well, you don't need it. You're not willing to work, well, you just don't need it. Look, we believe in helping people. We really do. But y'all, you got some of these people, they think they're really doing something. They feeding the poor and they're clothing the sick and they're doing all this stuff. If you ain't giving them the gospel, all you're doing is self-promotion.
That's
look
right.
What I did.
That's right.
The main thing is get them saved.
That's
get the gospel out. You know what our business is about? Getting the gospel
Amen.
Out. What money's the event. Our money is put toward God's things in God's way.
Amen.
Not just to get out here and say, well, we give money down there, so-and-so, you know. They give out a whole lot of food. Give the gospel out. If they don't give out the gospel, I'm not interested. You ain't doing no. You all you're doing is telling everybody how much good you're doing, and you've got your reward.
Amen.
Money's a defense. If it's properly used right, it'll defend you in that, keep you from that wicked one. You can't serve God and mammon. Look, money is a great servant, but it's a poor master.
Amen.
You use it right, it's a defense. You use it wrong, it's not a defense. You've got to use properly what you're given there. You got to be mindful about that wisdom. But also this right here. There's got to be a godly enjoyment about what's given. In verse number 12 there, you got to have a balance here. He said in verse 12, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. A lot of folks have all kinds of wealth, but they don't have any life because the Bible says life is hid with Christ in God. True life's in Christ, so you can't enjoy what you have if you don't have Christ. It's so sad to see all these people have all these things, all this stuff, and I've seen pictures of people who literally have yachts and boats and other stuff, lost about on highways. Nothing satisfies them.
That's right.
I've seen people not have nothing, man. Just have a front porch, that man just sitting out there with a smile.
Amen.
I won't never forget, I was running the mail route up there in Ripley one time, and I'm not kidding you, I've probably told this story before, but it sticks with me. I saw a guy pulling out of the parking lot up there, and he had an old Ford pickup, and just hardly going like this. He had overall, no shirt on under his overall. He's going out there like this, right? Had old straw hat on, and he's going out there, and his dog is up by him looking out. Big old hound dog, probably something, ears flopping. popped down, tongue hanging half out of his mouth. And that dog was smiling. He was smiling too. I said, that guy is enjoying more what he has in that old beat up Ford pickup truck, green, rust, everything, than folks that's got more stuff and they know what to do with. Why? Because if you've got the Lord, whether you got a little or a lot, you can enjoy it in the Lord. It's a defense to help you enjoy what you have. Enjoy what's, be content whatever state you're in. The problem is we don't want to be content in what we have. It's a defense, proper use of what's given, balance in grace. Now you think about, oftentimes God allows things to come up. You know what? Somebody I love a whole lot, they say, you need to tune it up. You know what? God will tune you up sometimes. You think about the violinist. You know what that violinist does? Gets up there and that string gets loose a little bit. You know what that violinist does? Tightens that string up. Why? So when he puts the bow across it, it plays like it's supposed to. You know what? Oftentimes we get a little loose in our living. You know what God does? Not to hurt you. He's doing it to harmonize you.
Amen.
We get out of harmony. That master violinist, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think the devil could play music. Brother, God created music. Amen. The devil's just a counterfeit. Yeah, thy pipes and tabrets was prepared in thee. He can't play nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The sweet psalmist. Why? Who gave him the songs? What are all the songs about? He tunes you up to put you in harmony. And when he gets that bow across you, it just sounds just right. He said, uh-oh, we need to tune them up just a little bit. A lot of times he'll allow things like that to happen. You know, the trouble is, if y'all are anything like me, we want to be up there like Matthew chapter 17. The three get up there, Peter, James, and John with the Lord, and they get up on that mountain transfiguration. They see the glory of God, and they want to stay there. Peter said, hey, man, we'll make three tabernacles. It's good for us to be. We just stay right here. You can't do that. We're made in the valleys. You know what the Lord did? He come down from that, went down to the valley, and died on the old rugged cross.
Right.
You know what our business is to die.
Amen.
That's hard for this old flesh right here. Do you realize if the rapture don't happen, every one of us are going to die?
Amen.
People have learned how to live without learning how to die.
That's right, brother.
That's the trouble, man. We're everyone, but you know what? It's a joy of the Lord to go with Him. Why?
Amen.
He said, hey, Lazarus not dead sleeping. All that's going to die is the body.
That's right.
You're going to be in the best place you could have ever thought imaginable.
That's right, brother.
Well, that's why people think Christians are crazy. Why y'all talk? I'm just talking about going to be with the Lord. Brother, it's going to be wonderful. I'm trying to prepare someone. Because I tell you this right here. My job as a preacher, if I can prepare you to see the Lord Jesus Christ, that helps you with everything else.
Amen.
Get ready to see the Lord. I mean, you think about these balances in grace and stuff like that. I was thinking about working. I talked to some people and they'll come out there and say, man, it must be hot out here and stuff like that. But I wish I was out here with you. The man in the office wants to be outside, the man outside wants to be in office.
Amen.
But the trouble is, see, there, God gives you a balance. If you got that comfy office job, but you don't work the body, but you're working the nerves. So do you know when you're working your mind, it's working your nerves.
Yeah.
But oftentimes you do that, but it balances out to the expense of the body. You're not working your body, so you'd have to go get a workout somewhere. Bart, so he's got a good job working his nerves, but he's not working his muscles. The man outside's working his muscles, but he's not working his nerves as much.
That's right.
So what? God set the one over against the other. Why? So you'll find balance in God in this world. You think about a kid. Children, they don't want no restraint. I want to be able to stay up late. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do this other thing. They don't want the restraint that comes with youth. But then whenever you get older, okay, well, you don't have the restraint of youth anymore, but you got responsibility. See, he set the one over against the other. And then whenever you get older, you're like, man, I wish I was young again. Why, that's that flesh. See, he set one over against the other. Why, my bills were paid, everything was fine. I had somebody else doing everything for me. See, there's always a balance that you have to find in the Lord, because the world's not like that. You get older, and guess what? Then you start working. Now here it is, you're working your body and all this type of stuff, and you're like, man, one of these days I'm going to be able to retire. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Whenever you retire, yeah, when you're younger, you're working, but you've got all kind of strength. Mm-hmm. But then you get older, then you retire, and guess what? You wish you had the strength back.
That's right.
You see, you think, man, I wish I had this much rest with the muscles that come along with the working days.
Amen.
You can't. Why? God set the one over against the other one. You'll find nothing after Him. Let me tell you something. After, if you once you find the Lord, there's nothing after that that even compares.
That's right.
Brother, once you find the Lord, all your stability is in the Lord. Then you say, I know how to look at it now.
Right.
Well, because in the world, you find all those things working against each other. But in the Lord,
man,
the only balance you find, you'll say, man, what does all that stuff do? That says, Lord, this world right here is without You, and Lord, without You, there is no hope. It makes you hope in God.
Right.
Why? Because the older you get, you just realize all these things are set against each other.
Amen.
And why? God allowed that because you. What if everything just went wonderful? That would be the worst thing that ever happened to you. If you never had anything bad, we'd always look around. We'd never look up.
That's right.
And brother, that's the worst thing that can happen to a man. Why? Because God's a God of order, even though it's not our order. You know another thing too? It keeps us from making plans too far out. Man, we get to planning. Man, 5 years, I'm going to do this. And 10, man, in 20 years, we'll have... You have to be real careful of that. There's nothing wrong with having intentions. But you'll never see the word plan in the Bible. Well, that's for God. We can have intentions, but God is the only one who can plan. Because God sets the one over against the other. That way you'll say, if the Lord will, we will go do such and such, and we will go build this or that. Why? It keeps you humble. If we get to where we can plan out and plan out and plan out, man, before long we'd be, hey man, I can just get out here and do whatever I need to do. And God will say, hold on just a minute now. Like that one guy, he gets up there and he says, I'm going to tear down these barns, build bigger barns. God says, you know what? You forgot this one part tonight. Your soul will be required of you.
That's right, my brother.
You know what? All our intentions needs to be in the Lord. And that helps the right balance in life. So if you get balance and grace, and you know what the Bible says? Rejoice evermore. That gives us the ability to be able to rejoice in all things. Now, not only that, you be mindful about wisdom, but then you need to be mindful about God's works. In verses 15 to 20, I want to read a few verses to you here. The Bible says, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. That's a strange thing, isn't it? You know what you got to do? On God's works, let God do the sorting. God does the sorting. He said, all right, here's a just man, and he's perishing while he's doing good. He's perishing in his righteousness, and he's a good man. But there is a wicked man, and he lives on in his wickedness. I can't understand this. Here's Solomon with all this wisdom. He said, it just don't work out. How come these good folks are dying early, and the wicked folks are dying in their 80s, 90s, and sometimes 100 years old living like that? You take old wicked devil like Hugh Hefner and stuff, just influence people for the old worst you ever thought in your life. How did that man live like that?
Amen.
God giving him time.
Yes, he was.
God giving him time. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. We forget God's a merciful God.
Yes, he is.
But this life is so fast. You just, it's gone, 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 gone. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, we wonder why great folks die. I've read some of these biographies of people, and I thought, I got to look and I was like, how old was that guy? I was listening to a biography the other day, and the guy was like 34 years old. I said, that guy is 34. Why? God knew he was ready.
Amen.
God said, he's ready to come with me. I'm going to bring him home because he's ready, and so and so, they're not ready. They need to stay. I'm giving them a long while. Because God is not willing that any. Man, we get up here and we say, man, that so and so is just as wicked. How in the world are they? And God said, I'd like to see them get saved.
Yes.
How come you're not being like me? How come you don't want to see them get saved? How come I'm the only one who wants to see people get saved around here? You imagine being in God's position. I'm glad God's not like me. Because, man, if God had my temper, brother, he would just strike them down. He'd strike me down every 5 minutes. I wouldn't make a day.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, I've got trouble with road rage. Which, man, I should be able to get over that by now. That's a crazy problem to have. You think about some of these people that's got real problems, and I get mad because somebody pulls out in front of me every day. So I don't know what it is about it. I think they think, there's Chase Massing, I'm pulling out in front of him. I can do it, he don't care. And man, I just get mad about that stuff when that's really not a real problem to have. But y'all, some people got real problems, man. And God's saying, I wish y'all thought as much about the problems that I do. You know what the main problem is? People's dying without Christ. The main problem is we need to see things the way God sees things, not the way we see things. Most of the things we think is important is not nowhere near as important as the things that God sees. God said, hey, all I did was just take my child home. They're mine anyway. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Once you get to let God do the sorting, say, they're His anyway. That's one thing that's so hard for us as humans to get. Everything God has is His. And He, what if we did the sorting? You ever thought about what a mess things would be?
That's right.
What if we had the ability to take out who we wanted to take out and leave who we wanted to leave? This world would be a messed up place, man. You get to analyzing that thing. I tell you something, God does the sorting and that helps you on His wisdom. Not only that, but we're going to read down to verse 19. It's going to show you how to keep true strength. Watch this. It says, be not righteous over much, like Sadducees and Pharisees thought they was righteous, everybody else was wrong, you know. Neither make thyself over wise. A lot of people think they know more than everybody. I know people, you love them to death. You can't tell them nothing. They think they know everything. They think they know it all. He said, don't be not over wise. Don't be one that you can't. Look, that is a good phrase right there. Now, let other people tell you some stuff. Even if you know it, sit back and listen a little bit. Yeah. It's a blessing just to be able to let them tell you some things. Look, we're sitting here praying to God, and God knows what you're going to say. What if God says, hey, I already know what you're going to say anyway, don't say nothing. What a relationship would that be? Let some folks talk a little while. Don't be over righteous. Don't be over wise. Not as good as I am. All right, well, I ain't going to talk to you anymore then. You think you're better than me? I'll let you find some friends on your plane then. You say, what if God, over righteous, what if God's like, we come up there and, Lord, just want to tell you some things. You know we're near as righteous as I am. Guess what? We got the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking to somebody, if they're saved, they're as righteous as you are. Why? Y'all got the same righteousness. What a blessing. You don't even plain. He says, why shouldest thou destroy thyself? You want to learn how to destroy yourself? Be over righteous much and know more than everybody else. You'll destroy your own self. Yeah. It says this, be not over much wicked. You some of these people,
that's right.
Never seen nobody bad as me now. Nobody, when I got saved, nobody's ever been as bad as I have. Just keep that stuff to yourself. Why, you ain't got to get up here and tell everybody about every little thing you did. Just get up here and brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a lost sinner, and Lord Jesus Christ saved me. Spend the rest of your time bragging on Him. Why? Because if the devil can get you back into trafficking, you know what I used to do? And man, we go down here and do so-and-so. We don't tell them that stuff. They don't know it. They don't need to know it.
Right.
You know what? I'm not going to get up here and tell y'all stuff I did years ago and years ago. That's under the bridge, man. God's forgiven me for that.
Amen.
I'm done. I'm not the same person anymore. And I don't think anybody else ought to do that stuff. You don't feel obligated to say, man, you just don't know how bad I was. But don't be over much wicked.
Right. That's right.
Don't get over here and just, man, just look. Why? We're different people. You're looking at why each day that I hope the old man dies off a little bit more, and I hope I look a little bit more like Jesus Christ. I hope you can't even recognize what I look like back. Why? Because brothers and sisters, we're getting closer to God. I want to look more like Jesus.
Amen.
Less like myself and more like Him.
Yes.
That's what we want. No over much. Why? This stuff will keep you from inventing things in your mind. Why? Before long, you're the worst person that ever was. Nobody else can be bad as you, you know. You'll invent stuff in your mind. And that stuff's not right. Why? Because the ground's level at the cross. All were sinners. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Now I want to give you something on that. You got to keep true strength because, let me read down to verse 19. It's good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also, from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth thee wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So you want to keep true strength? It's a true life preserver. Look, verse 17, why are you going to die before your time? Why are you going to waste time? You're living, but you're dead because all you do is stay back there and stay back there and stay back there.
That's right.
Look, I was working with my brother this week, and I could tell y'all stories all week long about this, but he helped me in a way from wasting time. I was out there, and we was out there at 90-degree weather on that old hot pavement, and we was out there polishing that metal, and I had this grinder, and man, I was grinding that metal out, and all of a sudden that grinder just stopped. Looked at my brother and said, "Hey, man, what's going on with my grinder?" He said, "I don't know. We changed extension cords, and we tried all this stuff, and we shook it, and I beat on it, and everything I could think of." And I done got mad. I said, "Man, let's put this thing down. Let's roll up this cord. We're going to run down here to Home Depot and get us another grinder. Come right back and finish this job." He said, "Hold on just," he calls me cuz. He said, "Hold on just a minute, cuz." He said, "How about we set the thing in the shade a little while and let it cool off?" And I said, "You think that's all it is?" Well, he's my big brother. He said, "Yeah, that's all it is." He said, "It's just hot." Guess what we did? Instead of going all and doing all that stuff, we set it in the shade and it cooled off. And you know what? I didn't have to spend all that time and all that money. And all I did, it worked fine. You know what we do? We just waste time and waste time staying back and staying back there and not doing what God said. And we waste time. And guess what else you do? You waste money.
That's right.
Wisdom is a defense and money is defense. You put your defenses down because you waste all your wisdom, waste all your wealth on stuff that you don't need to even be wasting it on.
That's right. Amen.
It's going back there and patching up and patching up. When God's already giving you a whole brand new, we don't have to have a patch up job. God gave you a brand new creation.
Amen.
And man, I love that. Man, I just so glad. Well, it's a good, true life preserver.
Yes,
you think about some of these people waste time not applying wisdom. They're like zombies.
That's right.
I got a verse for you. 1 Timothy 5:6 says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Walking around, but they're dead.
That's right.
Just not good for no one. All they do is live life for themselves.
That's it.
That is something that don't preserve your life. That's what this world's doing. They're dwelling on temporary pleasure, and that's a killer. Here's a good verse for you. Hebrews 11:25 says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Now, you know what pleasures are? They're kind of like pleasures to your relationship to God, or kind of like a flame is. You got a flame here. And if you just take a gentle breeze and blow it on that flame, and that flame's your relationship to God, it'll actually kindle that thing and do better. But if you come in there with just a great big old tornado of a wind, it'll blow it out. There's nothing wrong with pleasures in the right way. Godly pleasures and putting God in those things, that'll help you.
Yes, you
go in there and just all you want to do is have, it'll kill that flame.
Yes, it will.
Before long, you're just around, you wonder why you just can't find no joy, can't find no peace and happiness and comfort. Why? Because you're living your life for the wrong thing instead of the Lord. Why? You're knocking your defense down, you're going to have the wrong kind of inventions in your mind. Now, here's the thing. I was looking at my journal the other day. And I remember, I can't remember who said this, but Satan's claim is that he can make a man satisfied without God. He can give happiness and pleasure, but he cannot give joy.
That's
right. Satan, I'm going to tell you something. This world hasn't got that figured out. They think, "Man, I'm happy. I must be right." Satan can give you all kinds of happiness, man. Don't ever let the world tell you Satan can't give you. He can make you happy.
Amen.
But he can't give you joy.
That's right.
Why? Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. Only the Holy Spirit working in through you can give you something that nobody else can take. You can have joy no matter everything else is going wrong in your life. You still got the joy. That's the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
Only God can give you that.
Amen.
That comes with that relationship and balancing it right with the Lord.
It's joy.
It's joy. Psalm 40:8 says, this is talking about the Lord. "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." You know what Jesus' joy was? To do exactly what the Father wanted him to do. So what does it do? It's a true life preserver, but it leads you to the prize. Here's the thing. Philippians 3:14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So what happens is this. As you exercise in the Lord. The Lord puts you through exercise and He's going to exercise you. Why? He wants you to be strong in Him, in Him. Ephesians chapter 6 tells you be strong in the Lord. You know what He's going to do? We're going to walk out of here. What are we doing right now? We're worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
You serve out there. We're coming here for worship the Lord. You know what He's going to do? You're going to get right back out there and He's going to put you on the exercise machine. Why? Because He wants you strong in Him.
Amen.
You say, well, how can I? What's the indicator? What's the thermostat to tell if my strength is waning? Where's your joy at? Where is your joy? Why, if the devil can take your joy, he knows he can get your strength.
Amen.
What I'm trying to show you is this, friends. You have to constantly keep that thing in check. Why? Because we're not only are we trying to have a true life preserver there, we're trying to go to the prize that Paul's talking about, but you're wanting to have a work that lasts. I want y'all to have a work that lasts. So I'm going to give you some verses on this. Revelation 14:13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." See, die in the Lord. "From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." What kind of works are going to follow you?
That's right, my brother.
So are you laboring in the Lord? You know, a lot of people are not going to die in the Lord.
Right.
They're going to die. Look, that's the way to die. If you trust Jesus Christ, you'll die in the Lord. And your works will follow you. Now, here's some things. You say, what can we do? What kind of works can we do? I'm going to give you some mail that's directly addressed to you. A few works that you can do. And I'm not going to worry about the time. Y'all said I could preach all I want to. Here's a few. Romans 6:16. "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." You say, what is something I could do for the Lord and I'm laboring and it's going to last way out there? Just help somebody.
That's right.
Amen.
Do you know whenever we have things like that and people out there cleaning, y'all ladies out there cleaning and stuff like that and bringing food and stuff like that, you're laboring on people? Don't you know that God's counting stuff like that?
Amen.
Some people take food to people and stuff like that. Some people, they labor on people by what? Just calling them, being a blessing to them. I've had some of y'all call me, and I've told y'all this before, but we're all liars. Y'all know that. "How you doing, preacher?" "Fine, Lord." You ever done that? I don't know. Your voice just sounds kind of like, I know, I'm doing fine. Everything's good, man. You talking about wonderful.
Amen.
And then you get off the phone and you're like, Lord, why did you do that? I had to just lie. And they talk to you and before long you're feeling good and everything. And something comes up in that conversation. Now, you know you can put your finger. Something comes up in that conversation. You're going, now, I know they call, but this is the Lord. Speak. They labored on you.
That's right.
Y'all, sometimes a text, God uses words. I've had some of y'all text me before. I've showed the message to Carl and say, we got an active God. That's scary. I've had one. I've got one guy, he texts me something, and it was the exact thing we were talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. You think God don't work through that stuff? Laboring on. Y'all, that stuff counts for something. Don't think you're not doing it. That stuff counts. Here's another one. Romans 16:12. "Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord." What did they do? We don't know. We just know they're laboring in the Lord. Do you know anything you do when you're yielding to the Holy Spirit of God is laboring in the Lord?
That's right.
So all I did was pick up a piece of paper out there in the parking lot. If you did it in the Lord, He counted it.
That's right.
It's that small. You get out there and you just set up. Some people set out gospel tracts and stuff like that. Every little thing, if you're doing it in the Lord, it counts. You say, well, it wasn't nothing but a little thing. It's the little things that count most.
Amen.
Why? Those are the things we neglect. I'm just giving you some stuff I know is going to count for you. 1 Corinthians 3:8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." You know what that means? You need to labor. Why? We're not going to get anything. What you did is what you did. What you did, what you did. You get from your own labor.
That's right.
Now, God's not a communist.
No.
He's not going to come in here and take from so-and-so and give it to so-and-so other. He don't implement that communism, socialism. You know what God says? You do it and you get it off what you did.
Amen.
Now, I will say this. If you do something, what you did will count a long ways, because a lot of times if you witness to somebody and then God will have to count what all, because you never know what comes off of that. You never know the fruit that comes off of that. That's why it makes you want to do what you're supposed to do in the Lord. Well, you never know what's going to count from one little bitty thing. One little thing. I'll tell you this. And look, y'all done said I could preach. We're going to get, I got 10 more minutes. Look at this. There was a guy, he came in and he was supposed to preach a meeting. And this was out in Oregon or somewhere where they evidently, a lot of people are loggers and stuff like that. In one of these states, and he comes out there and he couldn't find a place to preach. So he comes out to a big old open building, and it's just like a kind of like one of those pole barn type deals. And he gets out there and he said, well, I guess I went to the wrong place, but I was supposed to preach a meeting. I'm supposed to get out here and preach these cows or something. So he gets out there and gets his Bible open. He just commences to preaching. So anyway, he stays in town a couple days and everything. And this one guy comes in there and says, he was in a restaurant and comes in and says, preacher, I want to talk to you. He said, I don't know what your deal was the other day. He said, but I was out in the backside of that barn cleaning and stuff. And he said, I heard a man preaching. So I sit down there behind some hay and just listen to the sermon. And he said, man, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. Hey. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a true story. If I needed to, I could get you the documentation on that thing. That what I'm trying to tell y'all is when you're doing, even if nobody's looking, God knows what you're supposed to do, and what you do in Him counts. You never know who it's affecting. That guy had no idea that there was a man listening. And that man got under conviction and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm telling you is you keep doing, even though you can't see it and you're not getting the credit or whatever, God is giving you the credit. There's some of y'all done things nobody else knows what you, and I don't know. I'm just saying it because you know it and God knows it. And God said, hey, you're a blessing. You wait till you get up here. I can't wait till you get up here.
That's right.
Why? Because you think God ready to see you.
Amen.
Man, you're going to get up there and say, woo, man, ain't this a blessing.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's a blessing to have that. Now, here's another thing. I got a few more. I don't want to never get over these. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You know what that's talking about? At the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
You want Him to accept that labor. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. I read that earlier, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. Working is good for you. It's good for you. And I tell you something, we want to do that. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. It's a labor of love. We want to do it. You got those that labor in word and doctrine. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. Our destiny is not just to do something, it's to be something.
That's right.
If you ever get on your mind, I've got to do something, I've got to do something, I've got to do something, you'll have the wrong motive. It's to be something. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. You've got to realize we're headed somewhere. And what you do, do in the mindset, I'm doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm heading somewhere. I'm going to be something one of these days. You know what we're going to be one of these days? Every one of y'all saved, you're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ one day.
Right.
You're going to be somebody.
Amen.
You imagine that.
Amen.
That's what you got to serve with, that mindset. They're not just, I just want to do something for the Lord. Serve with a mindset of, I want to do it in the Lord because I'm headed somewhere with the Lord.
Right.
It changes your perspective of the thing. Here, I'm getting coming to a close. Be mindful of words. I'll go over these quickly. Verse 21, also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise is cursed. I have to keep the words of your helpers, others, servants. Now you think about this. What if you heard, you know, we said, well, we're going to be mindful of words. You ever thought about it like this? What if you were mindful, or what if you were able to hear what other people prayed for you about? Lord, they're away from the Lord. Need you to help them, Lord. What if you overheard that? So you don't need to hear so much stuff.
That's right.
Well, but guess what? Anybody that's praying for me, it's all welcomed. If you think I'm away, brother, go ahead and pray right on up, because, brother, I need all the prayer I can get. It won't bother me a bit.
Amen.
Some of these people, if they heard, Lord, save him, he's lost. He's lost, Lord. Save him. Save him, Lord. Save him, Lord. Wouldn't that be a blessing right there? If you get saved, you'd be glad you heard that.
Amen.
A lot of times we get mad about what... Some people think things, but it's not that they don't love you.
That's right.
Some people say things you don't like. Look, if I heard everything y'all have ever said about me, it probably hurt my feelings, but y'all love me. A lot of times it's just, hey, I care for him. He's got this going on. I really don't like that about him too much. We still love him though.
That's
Right. Y'all, that stuff goes on. You know what the problem is? People say, I overheard so-and-so. You know what the problem overhearing is? Most time you overhear.
That's right.
You overhear things.
Right.
Now, you got to be careful about that overhearing. We all do. You got to be mindful about words of helpers, but not only that, but words of your own heart. He said, thine own heart, thyself knoweth. Guess what? You think about, the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now you think about that. You lie to yourself at times. Sometimes you lie out of your own heart. You lie to your own self. Sometimes we make ourselves out worse than we really are, and sometimes we make ourselves out better than we really are. If you listen to your own self about how great you are, brother, you've been and talked yourself up so much, and nobody believes. But at the same time, y'all, you got to realize you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I'm just no good. I'm just so low I can walk underneath the door frame under there, you know. Well, hold on just a minute. Now God's working on the inside and through you. Don't knock yourself down like that. There's no good thing about just running yourself down all the time.
Amen.
You got to get that balance there. It's good to be humble, but don't just get, I just can't do nothing, man. Don't do that. Why? Because God's working in through. He's already done a whole lot through you now. Get out of here. I'm just going to go let a bear catch me. I ain't good for nothing. Well, there's people depending on you. There's people that love you. People want to see you do well. You listen to your own self a lot of times. You'll mess yourself up. That's your flesh talking to you. You know, you get out here, I'd just be better off if I wasn't around. You better quit that junk. Why? Your own heart knoweth.
That's right.
You curse your own self sometimes.
Amen.
Just get out here and put yourself down. And God's saying, hold on a minute. Now I want to do something through you. These things that help you not invent things in your own mind. Here's the next thing. Almost finished. Serious. Be mindful of wonder. Look at verse number 23. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That's how, man, ain't that something? I'm going to use some wisdom. Most time it ain't even nowhere near to be found. I find that all the time. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands, who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. You get over here like this, and you better be mindful of that wonder right there, not false wonder. I wrote down a quote by August Van Ryn. He said, wonderful things in the Bible I see, and they were put there by you and me. A lot of times you see stuff God didn't even know was there.
That's right.
You know what? You have to be careful about your own wonder. Why? You can't reason with sin. You'll get to wonder. Sin, man, why? The devil will make you wonder after him.
Yes,
the Bible said they wondered after the beast. You read about sin, you can't reason with it. You go over there, she's a subtle woman. See, Solomon was very acquainted. He had about 1,000 wives. He had 600 concubines, 400 wives, something like our vice versa. But anyway, you can't reason with sin. He likened sin in Proverbs 7 to a woman, and she's subtle of heart there. You know what to do? Leads you down to hell, the Bible says. You know what I hate about sin? Sin never leaves you better than it found you. Now you think about this right here. If you want those of you serving the Lord, you're better off now than you were years ago.
Amen.
But you take some people and they get off in that old sin, and you know what that sin will do? It'll take you and wring you out and throw you down just like an old dirty dish rag and leave you out in a parking lot.
Yes, it will.
It never leaves you better than it found you. You know what the best thing to do? Stay away from sin. Why? You'll conjure up things here.
That's right, bro.
You'll conjure up your own witty inventions and get you away from God. What? To escape the subtlety. You know what you have to do? Verse 26, he said, the one that whoso pleaseth God shall escape her. You know what we're supposed to do? Do what pleases God. We're created for His pleasure. I give you verses that please God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, you ought to walk to please God. Though they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know what we're supposed to do? Love His Son, yield to the Holy Spirit, and keep on serving. You know what I want every one of you to do? Get out here and just keep loving Jesus Christ, keep yielding to the Spirit, and keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Our orders are that simple. And I don't want to make things too hard, man. Some of these guys get out here and you get these 12-step programs and all this stuff. And you're like, man, that's complicated. I want y'all to have the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and let him take care of it. And here's the last thing. I really is closing. See, I have to get y'all a little bit each time. I really am. Really. Watch out for man's way. I'm going to read down to verse 29 and close here. It says, "Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out." So counting to find out. Look, count your days, number your days. Counting the account which yet my soul seeketh. But I find not one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Now you think about this. Man has a way of seeking out the wrong things. We get these inventions and they're conjured up in our minds. All this modern scientific advancement, that's not what he's even warning about. Why? Because a lot of people can take a lot of these things and use them for God. You know what he's warning? Man has sought out many inventions right there of your own mind. Why, man has a way of seeking out the wrong thing. You get over there and he said, "I'm seeking out this woman." He said, "I hadn't found one woman among a thousand." You know what your problem is, Solomon? You're seeking out lost people that don't love the Lord. And one man, it's hard to find a good woman, hard to find a good man. Yeah, you seek them in the wrong places. You know what? We've all found that. Hard to find a good friend these days. I've got some friends. I can honestly say I've got some friends in the Lord. Amen. You know why? You find them in the Lord.
Amen.
Problem is, Solomon's looking at things underneath the sun.
That's right.
In our earthly perspective. That's and he right. tells you that. That's he said, "I saw all these things under the sun."
That's right.
You know, we're looking at things through the lens of the Son of God.
That's
you'll
right.
find what you're looking for through the lens of the Son of God, not under the sun right here. We have a way of seeking things out the wrong way. Not only that, but we are to constantly try to keep God's thoughts. Now here's what I thought about this right here. The question is, I used to see people and they would have these bracelets on. They'd say, "What would Jesus do?" That's not the right question right there.
Exactly.
Well, Jesus isn't here in physical person anymore. So the question is this: what would Jesus have me do?
Amen.
Well, I'm here now.
Right.
He's working in and through me. You know what I want to see y'all do so we don't have our own inventions of our own mind is apply this right here and say, "God, what would you have me do? Lord, as I walk out these doors, I'm going to go out here and do something for you. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I honestly do not. But it don't matter what my future holds as long as I know who holds my future."
Amen.
Y'all, we know who holds the future.
Right.
You know what we do? We walk out here and say, "God, what would you have me do?" And that's the way we need to live our life right there. We'll close out if we could. Brother Paul, would you close us up?